Matthew chapter 14. And I'll try to be short and simple. As long as you don't leave and say, David Peterson is short and simple. Matthew chapter 14 and beginning at verse 22. 14 and 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Maybe you've heard the name Larry Walters before. His boyhood dream was to fly. He joined the Air Force, but poor eyesight disqualified him from being a pilot. After he was discharged from the military, he sat in his backyard watching jets fly overhead. And he hatched his weather balloon scheme while sitting outside in his Sears lawn chair. He decided he would purchase 45 weather balloons from an Army-Navy surplus store and tied them to his tethered lawn chair, dubbed the Inspiration 1. And he filled the 4-foot diameter balloons with helium. He then strapped himself into his lawn chair with some sandwiches, Miller Lite, and a pellet gun. I suspect he had already had some Miller Lite. He thought he would pop a few of the many balloons when it was time to descend. His plan was to sever the anchor and lazily float to a height of about 30 feet above his backyard, where he would enjoy a few hours of flight before coming back down. Things didn't work out quite as Larry Walters planned. I wished he had recorded it on video. When his friends cut the cord, anchoring the lawn chair to his Jeep, he did not lazily float up to 30 feet. Instead, he streaked into the Los Angeles sky as if shot from a cannon, pulled by the lift of 45 helium balloons, each holding 33 cubic feet of helium. He did not level off at 30 feet. He did not level off at 100. He did not level off at 1,000. He leveled off at 16,000 feet. At that height, he felt he couldn't risk shooting any of the balloons because he might unbalance the load. So he stayed there, drifting, cold and frightened, with his beer and sandwiches for more than 14 hours. He crossed the primary approach corridor of the Los Angeles International Airport, where pilots radioed reports of the strange sight. Nearly every communique reporting this man to the tower began with the same words, You're not going to believe this, but... Now, eventually, he gathered the nerve to shoot a few of the balloons, and he climbed to safety, where he was arrested by waiting members of the Los Angeles Police Department. I think that part of the balloons got stuck in some power lines. And the FAA was not amused. Safety Inspector Neil Savoy said, We know that he broke some part of the Federal Aviation Act, and as soon as we figure out which part it is, we are going to file a charge. But it was as he was led away in handcuffs, this is why I'm telling this story, that a reporter dispatched to cover the daring rescue asked him why he had done it. And this is what he said. Walter said, Man can't just sit there. A man can't just sit around, he said. Now, I don't know of any other person that can say they were 16,000 feet in the air in a lawn chair. Larry Walters can, right? I don't know of anybody else that can say they walked on water. apart from the Lord Jesus. But Peter did. Peter did. I want to speak about risk-taking. Getting out of the boat. Hey, you know, we sit in an audience like this, and everybody looks the same, and everybody sounds the same, so, and we all do the same thing. Is there anybody here, and you're going to do something different? Do something right. Do something scriptural. But do something different. Dare to do something different. I want to speak about getting out of the boat like Peter did. Because Larry Walters was right, at least about this. You can't just sit there. We must have challenge. We must have risk. We must have adventure. But we have to be careful in the kind of challenge that we accept. And so here are some things to think about from the story of Peter getting out of the boat. Just a few things and I'll be finished. Number one. Make sure that what you're wanting to do, make sure that the Lord says yes. Make sure that the Lord says yes. Once the disciples see, they're in the middle of the ship, right, in the storm. Once the disciples see the figure walking to them on the water, and they hear him say, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid," they understand, this is the Lord. Peter gets an idea. And what's his idea? He sees the Lord walking on the water. He says, "I'd like to do that." I don't know. Some people are just that way, right? They see something like that happen and they say, "I'd like to do that." They see people jumping out of airplanes and they say, "I would like to do that." There are just people that are like that. Peter was one of them. The Lord is walking on the water. He says, "I would like to do that." And so, what does he do? Does he get out of the boat right away and start walking to Jesus? No, he doesn't. What does he do? He says, "Lord, if it is you, if it's you, command me," give me a word, "command me to come to you on the water." What did Jesus say to Peter? I've heard people preach on this saying that what he did he never should have done and he made a fool of himself and all that. I'm not so sure. What did Jesus say to Peter? "Peter, no, Peter, it's too risky for you to walk on the water." He didn't say that. He said one word. He said, "Come." He said, "Come." Now make sure that whatever it is that you're seeking to do, that you have a yes from the Lord, that you have a word from the Lord. Now be careful how you get that supposed yes. I'm not going to tell you all the many ways the Lord might give a word to you. It might be something you hear at a conference. It might be something when you're reading, you're going through the Word of God in your daily reading. It might be a message that you get from someone. It might be circumstances. Make sure you get a yes from the Lord. I know people sometimes, we can use the Bible as if it were nothing other than just a way of finding an answer that we want. And we'll, "This is what I want to do. Okay, I know I need a word from the Lord." So we skim through and we go, "All right, there," right? And we end up looking at what that verse says. Is this? Listen, you might as well get as much help from a fortune cookie. That's not a yes from the Lord. Make sure that whatever it is that you're seeking to do, that you get a yes from the Lord. And Peter did. Number two. When you do, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. If you have a yes from the Lord, it's obedience to get out of the boat. So what does the text say? Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came to Jesus. Now that's another time I wish that a video camera was going. They couldn't do it back then, obviously. But Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. And he did it. He was able to do it because he had a word from the Lord. Sometimes we're afraid to take the risk and step out in faith. But if you have a word from the Lord, he will give you the ability. He will equip the called, right? He will give you what you need to do the work. Some of you, maybe if you're a little bit like I am, are afraid. We're afraid to do something different. We're afraid to talk to that person. Tell them about Christ. And tell them what he's done for you. Tell that person. Take the risk. Invite that person to come to a meeting. Take the risk. Give that money to help that person that's in need. Take the risk. Agree to take that Sunday school class that someone recently asked you to take. Young men, get up and participate in the meetings. Take the risk. Maybe you heard a message today about going into another land, whether it's Mexico or whatever. Do you have a word from the Lord? Get out of the boat. because then it's disobedience to stay in the boat. Get out of the boat. What is your boat? I think you can say it just like this. It is whatever represents safety and security to me other than the Lord Himself. It is everything that represents safety and security to me other than the Lord Himself. So get out of the boat. Listen, it's not safe there either. You might be afraid to get out of the boat. Wasn't too good being in the boat. Wasn't too safe being in that boat where there were winds and waves crashing against it. The only safe place for a believer is the place of obedience to the command of the Lord. That's the only safe place to be. So, get out of your boat. Number three, I want you to think about the fact that you need to expect adversity. I know we say this all the time, but it's true. Expect adversity. You know what was out there when Peter stepped out on the water to go to Jesus? You know what happened? Did everything calm down? No. Didn't. Wind's still blowing. Waves are still crashing against the ship. There's still trouble. But the Lord was with him. The Lord was there in the wind, and the Lord was there in the waves, and so there really was no need to be afraid. Expect adversity. Expect problems. Expect rejection by others. Maybe even ridicule. Imagine, maybe the disciples actually put the buckets aside for a minute as they were trying to bail the water out of them, and they're watching Peter, and they say, look at him. Who does he think he is? Look at him getting out of here. We could use your help in here, you know, the boat's going down. Look at him going to, and then they watch him walking on water, and I imagine them talking to each other. Listen, if you're going to do something for the Lord and step out in faith, expect there to be adversity. There may be people that misunderstand what you're doing and talk about what you're doing, but the only safe place to be is in obedience to the will of the Lord. The Lord was familiar with all those things as he did the work that the Father sent him to do when he left heaven. And came here. He was familiar with all of those things. And he'll be with you in those things if you step out in faith. Listen, there were problems in the boat too. Life is filled with problems no matter what we do or what we fail to do. So don't be a boat potato. You know what I mean? We talk about couch potato. Don't be a boat potato. Get out of the boat. Number four, failure isn't final. Verse 30 says, when Peter saw the wind, see, he's doing well. I don't know for how long. He's walking along on the water. He's going to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And he failed. He started to sink. What did Jesus do? Oh, what a shame. Peter, you were doing so good for a while. What a shame. Nice knowing you, Peter. I'll see you in heaven someday soon. Goodbye. Is that what Jesus? No. He failed. What did he do? Picked him up. That's what he did. He reached out his hand when? Immediately. He reached out his hand and he took hold of him and he lifted him back up. So Peter failed. So what? You failed? So yeah, I failed. I took a risk before. It didn't work out so well and I failed. So what's your point? Do you have a word from the Lord to come? Then get out of the boat and trust his presence and that he will be there to help you and to guide you. He succeeded for a while. The other disciples didn't. Larry Walters is the only one who can say he knows what it's like at 16,000 feet in the lawn chair. And Peter's the only one who can say he knows what it's like to be on the water, walking on the water. Now, I've walked on water before, but it was frozen. But Peter walked on the sea with Jesus. And none of the rest of those disciples did. And failure isn't final. This would not be the only time that Peter failed. He's going to fail again, right? The most common failure we preach on with Peter is his denial of the Lord Jesus. Three times. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. And then with oaths and curses, he says, I do not know him. And Peter failed. He failed in such a dramatic fashion again. So, then he turned to Acts. He's been restored. And Peter decides he's going to get out of the boat again. It's in chapter 2. He's in the upper room with the others. I don't know how timid he was. He's kind of made his way back into the circle of the 12, right? And it was 11, and now it's 12 again with Matthias, and he's there with the rest of them. I don't know how bold Peter is now, but suddenly there's a wind. It's not the wind out on the sea. Like, it's a wind. It's a sound of a mighty rushing wind that comes into the house where they're gathered, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they begin to speak in other languages. And people are gathering around to hear this. They can't believe it, that these men are speaking languages they did not know. And people are understanding them from other languages themselves. And they're gathering together, and Peter gets an idea. A lot of people here. There are a lot of people here. There's thousands of people. Here it is, the day of Pentecost. People have come in. The Jewish men have come in to celebrate the feast of Pentecost. And thousands of people are gathering around. Peter's, I think I'm going to do this. Imagine what's going through his head. I'm going to get up. I'm going to start preaching. Peter, you can't do that. I think I can. I think the Lord wants me to. I think the Lord has called me to do this. And he stands up and he says, men of Judea and people of Jerusalem. They turn around. What's going on? And boy, does he give a preach. He powerfully proclaims Jesus Christ and him crucified. And by the time he's finished, 3,000 people, their lives are changed because Peter got out of the boat. I imagine he's done. I can't believe it. The next chapter, Acts chapter 3, there's a man by the gate, by the one of the gates in the temple. And he's laying there and he's lame. And he remembers that Jesus came along to those that were lame and changed them and healed them. And Peter's with John. He sees this man and the man's looking for money. And Peter says, I wonder if I should try this. Never tried this before. But you know what? The Lord Jesus did it. And he gave us his word that we can. I think I'm going to get out of the boat. What does he do? He says, I don't have any silver and gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There it is. Man got up, started to walk. Peter got out of the boat. Peter took a risk in obedience to the command of the Lord. And then a big crowd starts to gather again. And he takes advantage of it. And he says, here we go again. Let's preach. And he preaches again. And until the number of the men was about 5,000, we're told in Acts chapter 4. Failure isn't final. Maybe you failed. We'd all have to put up our hands. We've all failed. Maybe you failed big time, like Peter. So? You get a word from the Lord. Don't be a boat potato, okay? Get out of the boat and be obedient to what the Lord wants you to do. Failure is an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity for growth. Jesus takes the opportunity to teach Peter a good lesson here, right out in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm. After he lifts him up, he says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He confronts him with his lack of trust. That's what Christ is looking for in his people, followers of the Lord Jesus. He wants us to be confident in him. He wants our lives to be lived daily in dependence upon his word, his guiding hand, and we commit ourselves to him. Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. And so he says, what? Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And this all happened out in the middle of the sea. Didn't say this in front of the others once they got back in the boat, but he said it to Peter when he was out there in the water. You know what that means? I think it means that Peter walked on the water again, that he pulled him up. And then he said to him what he said. And I imagine them making their way then back to the boat. And they both step back into the boat. Failure is an opportunity to grow in our faith. And finally, I just want to leave you with this. The water is where the Lord is. The water is where the Lord is. He's not in the boat. He's out of the boat telling Peter to come. Faith, trust, and risk is all a part of the normal Christian life. And so trust him. And once you get his yes, get out of the boat. Refuse to do nothing and to drift along in life, but be a committed follower of the Lord Jesus and put your trust in Him. And then walk on water for a change. And all just sit here and be comfortable and do little to nothing. And little to nothing to make a difference in this world. May the Lord challenge us to take a risk if we get a guiding word from the Lord.